Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Redemption Hill podcast. We are a community of people learning the way of Jesus to bless our city of Boise, Idaho, and beyond. Redemption Hill is a unique place. We are a collective of micro churches that do life together throughout the week and gather on Sundays to grow, worship, and celebrate what God is doing in our city. You are invited to join us Sundays at 9 a.m. at Discovery Church in Boise, where you can find the community you need in any season of your life. More details can be found at redemptionboise.org. Up next is the teaching segment from this week's Sunday gathering. Afterwards, stay tuned for more information on how to get connected at Redemption Hill.
All right, let's go. Here we go.
Angels today. The weirdest Sundays are always Angel Sundays. So Christmas is a season of interruption. My little brother Richard, he's having a baby next week, and he also has been trying to do a whole house remodel and addition for the last 6 months, and that baby is coming. Whether he wants it to or not, it's coming next week. And so he was like, I really need to get this done. And so all the family jumped in, spent a few nights this week, you know, putting together, you know, light boxes and installing, you know, plumbing fixtures and doing drywall touch-up and paint and all the stuff you do to prepare a house for a baby. Babies are disruptive. No matter how ready you are, babies disrupt your life. And Advent isn't just a season of lights and nostalgia, it's a season of interruption. Nobody in the Christmas story was looking for a message from God. Nobody was expecting their lives to get turned upside down. But an angel, and angel means messenger. It actually was not exclusively used of heavenly spiritual beings, but rather was a word, it was used of John the Baptist, of the prophets, of like a political envoys, or anybody who's like bringing a message. They were messengers. This week, we're talking about how God interrupts us with his voice. Last week, Bob talked about God's work of how he initiates with us by breaking into our world and speaking. God's voice itself is an interruptive presence in our world. God steps in with direction, with clarity, and with calling, and today we're going to be looking at a couple stories of how that happens. The real question is, how do we respond when God disrupts our lives? Is it an annoyance? Is it overwhelming? Is it in the way? Some of you are saying, well, Lord, why now? I really don't have time for your voice. Lord, why do you want to do it this way? I have my way of doing things. Your way is a disruption. Or why me? Aren't there people better suited than me to do the things that you're calling me to do? That's exactly how everybody in these stories felt. Our first story today is in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, last week we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, how he went into the Holy of Holies, lit incense, and heard God's voice, and then couldn't speak. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the messenger Gabriel, his special envoy, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin, a young girl named Mary. She was already engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could have meant. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God is going to give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And so Mary had some questions. She asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin. you know, even then they knew how these things worked. The angel replied, well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. That's got to be the first time that sentence was ever actually said aloud. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you in this manner. And the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And then the baby will be born. He's going to be holy. And he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant even in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I was thinking this week about how shocked Elizabeth and Zechariah had to be when her belly started to grow. She's a woman in her 60s. Her belly's growing. They don't have ultrasounds. They don't have any way of telling what's growing inside of her. You know, I think that they're probably, like, my guess is in the ancient world, just like today, if you saw a 60-year-old woman with a growth in her belly, you'd think that she has cancer. That's exactly what you'd think. But she knew in her heart that God had done something special. And God had told Mary in this miraculous vision, this angel appears to her, of what was happening. She's a teenage girl in a forgotten small town that gets the world's most world-changing announcement ever. I imagine if a 14 or 15-year-old in, like, Sweet Idaho. Have you ever been to Sweet Idaho? It's like a nowhere town in the middle of nowhere. Or like Council, you know, one of those Highway 95 towns that are just like middle of nowhere. And she gets this word from God, and then no one's going to believe her. A little girl from Sweet Idaho tells you that she's holding King David's sire. She's holding the Lord God himself's child. Everyone around her is going to be skeptical at best. She gets this world-changing announcement ever. But she isn't given clarity on what it means or how it works, and she really doesn't ask for it. She asks, well, how could that be? But she doesn't go, okay, I got some questions for you. Which next time, Mary, I'm sure Mary was like, I need that angel to come back. I got questions. But God does not give her clarity, but she's given a calling. It's thrust upon her. She was to be the one who would hold the very God himself. But her posture is not, Lord, may it never be so. It's not, God, save me from you. When she asks, how will this be? She's asking the honest question, like, that doesn't seem possible. And then she says the most courageous line in the Bible, the one that you only say if you're really brave. Let it be to me according to your word. Don't say those words unless you really mean them. Because God himself wants you. He wants you to say, let it be according to your word. Mary doesn't get the whole plan, but she gets enough to take one step of faith. And that's how God works. You step into his calling. Not the spotlight, not trying to create your own thing. You just step forward and allow God to do what he wants. Would you have the kind of courage that it takes to pray like Mary does in this Advent season? Let it be to me according to your word. Last week, I know that Bob was asking you to hear and listen for God's voice. Could you ask God to give you the kind of surrender before understanding like Mary did? Our second story, very similar on the other side of the coin, is poor Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before that marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. What a good dude. This girl's sleeping around on him. She's got some other boyfriend that's knocked her up. She's starting to show. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to shame her publicly. I'm not going to take her out into town square and call her all the names that I'm feeling on the inside. I'm just going to divorce her quietly. Maybe she'll move away. Maybe I'll move away and I'll go start a life somewhere else where I'm not treated like the one who was jilted by my lover. He's a good guy. He's trying to do the right thing. Verse 20. As he considered this, a messenger of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, you of the royal line, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Then Joseph woke up, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Yeshua, Jesus, which means God saves. Joseph's life plan explodes. He was a good guy. He worked hard. Lived in a village, didn't have a lot of things, but he had found a beautiful young girl to marry. He was going to create a family with her and build a life with her. And God enters in a way that was disruptive to Joseph's plans and Joseph's life. He was ready for a baby in God's time. He thought in God's time would be after he was married to her. He has this engagement crisis where he has to decide, will I stay with her or will I go? If I stay with her, you know what people are going to say about him. They're going to say, there goes poor Joseph. I wonder who the father is. I wonder who the father is. Has anybody ever said those words and meant something good about them? I wonder who the father is. He takes on all this social shame. By merely what happens, he's going to feel shame, but then to receive the shame as his own by taking her as his wife was costly to him. Not to mention his total confusion about his place. Have you ever had your confidence rocked like that? Has anybody ever gone through a bad breakup and you start to think, I'm not lovable and I don't belong and there's no place for me? Joseph is swimming in all these emotions like, could I ever have a loving relationship with this woman that I know has betrayed me? But then the angel speaks. God himself, through this angel's voice, shows up, and Joseph, he does what God tells him to do. There was a cost to it. But obedience is rarely convenient, and it's always costly. Obedience is rarely convenient, and it's always costly. But our obedience positions us inside of God's redemptive work in the world. When we listen to his voice and we do what he calls us to, we get into the slipstream of God's justice and good news breaking into this world. And because Joseph could have said no. Do you know that? Joseph could have said, I don't care if an angel appeared to me. I don't want the shame that this woman brings on me. I'm going to walk away. I will tell you, almost all men would still do that, would have walked away. I don't know if I could have said yes to that calling. But when Joseph said yes, he got to be a part of this miracle story that's being told in all places on the planet 2,000 years later. Joseph becomes a protector and an earthly father to the chosen one who will reveal God himself to humanity. Because he said yes. Because his response was, Lord, let it be as your word says. So you've got these three angel encounters we've talked about the last 2 weeks. Zechariah last week, he has this hesitant trust. Zechariah actually doesn't believe, and God has to shut him up for 9 months so that he doesn't ruin it. Like, he has to, he's a talker, obviously, and God's like, okay, we're going to shut this down so that you get it. Zechariah wasn't sure. Then Mary, her response is this surrendered trust. No matter what, God, I want it to be how you want it to be, so I'm going to give in. Let your will be done. And then you have Joseph, who probably has, he's got the hardest place in this whole story in many ways, because he doesn't have an MRI and he doesn't have DNA testing, and there's no way to know that this baby inside of her is actually God except this angel's voice. But Joseph trusts God enough to say, I will obey even when it costs me everything. You see, in each one of these, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph, God doesn't take perfect, important people to make them his story. He takes people that he thinks will respond with openness to his voice, who will receive his voice and say, I don't know if it's going to happen the way you say, but I trust that you're going to care for me in the midst of it. Faith is trust. Faith is not mental assent and believing something's true. Faith is, you tell me something, and I'm going to act as if it's true. And we see in Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, each of them act as if God's word and God's messengers are telling the truth. And trust is more of, we think of trust as this active work of me choosing something. That's actually the opposite of what the idea of trust is. Trust is a falling into. It's saying, what other options do I have but to lay in the arms that have been laid out before me and trust that God will be there to protect me and to care for me in the midst of it? It's saying, I don't have any other option. I might as well lean in and trust God, because I can't decide what my future is going to be. I can't decide if this baby's going to come. I can't decide if I'm going to get shame or be so embarrassed and be sent out of my village. He invites us into this kind of, like, you're at the end of your ropes and you're going to fall into the loving arms of Jesus kind of trust. So my challenge to you this Advent, and the band can come up, we're finishing up. I told you to be fast. You guys didn't believe me, but here we are at 10:18. This Advent, I want you to ask a couple of questions. The first is, where is the Lord interrupting your life right now? What is inconvenient and annoying and disruptive that God is poking you, pushing you, prodding you, his voice is speaking to you? The second is, what is going to be your posture of response? That's our theme this Advent, is response. God initiates in the world. How are we going to receive his initiation? How are we going to receive his word? How are we going to receive his messengers? So where do you want my surrender to go? What sort of surrender do I need? What things are holding me back from walking with God that will require me to let them go? Maybe it's some addictions or some habits that are hurting our relationships. Maybe it's a difficult job situation that requires courage to step in and deal with. Maybe it's a hard conversation with a loved one. Maybe it's surrender to say, I'm going to disadvantage myself for the sake of others, whether it's in our neighborhoods or it's as a part of our mission together. I don't know what those things are, but I want you to ask the question, Lord, what do you have for me in this season? Now, too often what happens is we ask for God's voice and we want him to tell us how our life is going to go from here to the end. And then we want to say yes once and then just like see it happen. But that's not the way anything works. The way things work is one step at a time We look out in front and we say, God, I'm going to take a step forward, trusting that when I fall, you'll be with me. And so I want to challenge you in this season to ask him, where are you calling me to obey? And I'd like to ask you to stand with me. And we are going to pray. And I'm going to have this passage, this verse on the screen. Caitlin, do you have that last slide for me? This was Mary's response. And I don't want you to say this aloud altogether. What I want you to do is say it to the Father when you're ready, and then come receive communion. Because that's what the table of communion is saying, Father, I want to receive all that you have for me. I want salvation. I want the holiness that you have for me. I want transformation. I want your body to be inside of me. I want your blood to wash over me. I want forgiveness. I want redemption. But with that comes the invitation to let things go according to his will rather than your own. And so when you're ready, I'm going to pray. And when you're ready, say these words to the Father. Maybe say them out loud. Maybe say them quietly. And then come forward and receive communion as an act of receiving from the Father his word and acquiescing, saying, let it be according to your word. Lord Jesus, we want your way in this world to reign and rule. We want the goodness that comes with the restoration and the reconciliation of all of creation to you. We want you to get rid of all of the brokenness and suffering and the anger and the pain and the violence and the stupidity and the injustice. And God, we want you to change things. And we want you. We want your presence and your voice to come in power in our lives. But God, our hearts are rarely ready for that. And so I pray right now that each of us softens our edges. We lay down our guard. Maybe we even hold our heart to signify it's warming up to you, so that our response might be just like Mary's. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Father, I pray that each person here who's ready can say those words and let your will come in power in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Make sure to subscribe to get the weekly episodes in your podcast feed. You can find out more on how to get connected with Redemption Hill at redemptionboise.org/connection, where you can fill out the Connect card and start your journey today. For regular encouragement throughout the week, follow us on Instagram at Redemption Boise. We are so glad you're here and are excited to accompany you in your story with God. We hope to see you soon.